This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Paul Spencer joins me now, live in studio, stopping by to discuss big news, a couple of news items broken by the hook in the last few days. You broke the news story over the weekend about the ice park, which is all over the news now, that it's closing or they'll have to find a new owner. And let's be honest, that new owner has his work. Whoever that is has their work cut out for them to keep it open and profitable. But also some other big news we'll talk about, too, on the hook today regarding the latest on the trash wars. Very, very, very interesting stuff there. But let's start with the ice park first. When did you first hear about this? Like anything else, it just came over the transom? Somebody called you?
Yeah.
Hey, Oz, guess what?
Yeah, basically I got an email from a parent who received the communication from the ice park owners, and you know, there was never an effort to conceal anything. They in fact seemed to be interested in getting the information out to as many people as quickly as possible, and they were as I said in my story, remarkably candid in their letter. They talked about how much money they had lost, about $850,000 thus far.
Who owns the ice park? Because it's not the same guys who built it,
right? The guys who built it are Colin Rolfe and Lee Danielson, and they built it in conjunction with a Regal Cinema next door back in the mid-90s when the downtown mall, as you and I might recall, was kind of a moribund retail district.
Yeah, it was a bit of a ghost town after 5
bit
o'clock.
Bit of a ghost town.
Even though it had been open for 20 years, the downtown mall.
That's right. But after, I see four factors that came together pretty much within a couple of years of each other. The downtown mall auto crossing, which increased visibility.
Yep.
The Regal Cinema, which was 6 screens and up until that point, the biggest entertainment venue downtown. And the ice park. And also the predecessor to what we now know as the Charlottesville Pavilion, the Charlottesville Amphitheater, was kind of a big thing down at the other end of the downtown mall, but it brought a lot of people down for Fridays After 5 and other special
and
events.
And didn't Lee Danielson and Colin Rolfe, didn't they help set up a little stage for Fridays After 5 down there near the ice park? Was that them or was that the Downtown Foundation?
I think that was the Charlottesville Downtown Foundation, but one thing you may be thinking of that they did before anything else was they were the ones who built that kiosk, or actually Lee Danielson was. He built it for Reed Nagel. It was that kiosk that had the clock on top.
Yeah, yeah.
And for many years, it was a newsstand.
It was great, yeah.
And a tourist information stand. But eventually, it was unceremoniously sold off. In fact, it was threatened with going to the scrap heap a few years ago.
Who bought that? What happened to that?
Some guy bought it. Seriously, just like some average individual. Jim Tolbert, the city planning director, was advertising that it was going to be scrapped.
Yeah, and yeah, I remember that.
I think somebody
that
called his office and said, hey, I'll give you a few bucks for that thing.
Yeah. It was a
Gaston and Wyatt creation.
It was nice.
Yeah, Gaston and Wyatt, one of the finest cabinet makers in Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
The people who's...
I missed that thing. That was nice on the downtown mall. Big newsstand.
Yeah. Gaston and Wyatt, they have sympathy for the bevel.
There you go. Well, of course. Paul Spencer live in studio at 18 minutes until 6 o'clock. The ice park, and so the people who own it, Colin Rolfe and Lee Danielson, eventually sold it because their partnership soured.
That's right. Their partnership soured, and various pieces of their deal fell into receivership, and a consortium of skating enthusiasts bought the place in, I think, 2003.
Okay.
And
they could just never make any money off of it.
Well, no, and yeah, you're right. They at this point, the owners are Roberta and... what's his name? Bob?
Whoops. Roberta and Bob.
Williamson.
Williamson.
Yeah. And they were worried that they might lose $1 million if they don't get rid of it this year. Because one of the components of it is they actually don't have enough space in their building to operate that business. So they lease the storefront next door for their rink operation. And, Bruce Williamson, that's the guy's name.
Oh, yeah,
Bruce
course.
Williamson.
Yeah.
Sorry, whoever Bob is. So they leased the
Sorry, Bob Williamson, whoever you are.
Yeah. They leased
You do not own an ice park.
Yeah, tempting as it may be. Because you might be able to get $4.1 million. That's the asking price.
Oh, $4.1 million, and they already have people who are interested. But how do you make money off of this that people have been trying now for over 10 years?
You know, believe it or not, given the duration of the time they've been operating that ice park, the amount of their loss is not really that large as some business losses go. I mean, that's a burn rate that, you know, for you and me in our households would be devastating. But for a large building like that, you know, it's assessed for over $6 million. It's 31,000 square feet.
Does the business include the building? I mean, is it 4.1 for the business and the building?
Yeah, you get, for that price, you get the building and you get the Zamboni.
Which you could turn around and sell for, what, $1 million?
No.
Those are expensive.
They're expensive, but they're not that much. But, yeah. I mean, how much fun? You'd have a Zamboni.
Now, well, you know they'll have buyers at 4.1 if the building itself is worth over six.
Well,
you know they're going to have buyers. It's obviously underpriced.
You would think. Or the city assessor has over-assessed.
Yeah, which they do that sometimes.
Well, and also we've had an economic setback. So sometimes, you know, just how assessments don't catch up on the way up. They don't.
So you think
they sort of lag
on the way down
as well.
Charlottesville will still have an ice park? You think it's going to survive?
Wow. Too early for me to say. I know that they're going to be around till June because that's when the Coventry Commonwealth Games, kind of a amateur Olympics, is coming to town and has some skating events there.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, the reason I never supported the ice park financially with my own family budget to the extent that I would have liked, and you've taken your kids there.
Yeah.
Every time I take my kids there, it was always these little small windows of family time. And then otherwise, and then they made you get out because they were doing lessons or a hockey team or something. But it was like, it was this ice park, this great ice park, and you could never just walk in off the street with your kids and skate because they only had these little tiny windows where you could actually do that. It was like a private facility.
That's a good point. You gotta use the website, my man. It's not like, what's that one in Rockefeller Center where...
You can just walk up and get in line.
Just walk up and get in line.
Well, it should be like that. Shouldn't it? I mean, if you want to have the public really support it, it's got to be accessible to the public.
Well,
that's my point.
Well, but it's like a... let's say a bowling alley. If it just depended on the people walking up whenever they feel like it, Coy, they're probably not going to make money. They need the league. They need the regular bowlers with those groovy shirts and the custom vinyl bowling ball bag.
They're into it.
And, you know, they need like Fred and Wilma Flintstone and Alice and Ralph Cramden, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And the shoes, dude, the shoes, the red and the blue shoes.
We're talking with Hall Spencer of The Hook at a quarter until 6 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. And when we get back, Hawes, let's talk about the news today in The Hook. Dave McNair reporting an interesting new twist in the garbage wars. The very latest coming up. To this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do better. 47 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville right now. We're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook, and it looks like the ice park may survive, at least for the time being, and hopefully they'll have more times available to take your kids there. That's what I would like to see and with the new owners. Hawes, Dave McNair over at The Hook, readthehook.com, reported today a fascinating story. It really burned me up. The very latest on the garbage wars. What is this all about? This is fascinating.
Well, as a lot of people may remember, the Rivanna Solid Waste Authority announced that it was dropping its high-profile lawsuit against recycler Peter Vanderlinde back in January. But what was the sort of the bombshell from that day when they made the announcement was that not only was Vanderlinde paying a six-figure sum to get that lawsuit off of his plate, but suddenly the authority's own partner in trash, if you will, the company variously known as BFI, Allied, and Republic Services, was also coughing up a six-figure sum. Given that they hadn't been sued, people were like, what's that all about?
Yes. The people asked very smartly, why are they paying a whole bunch of money when they weren't part of the suit? They were never even mentioned. What's going on?
Well, it turns out that reporter McNair decided to FOIA, or make a Freedom of Information Act request of the authority, and he found some interesting documents that indicated that the authority was not happy with the way that the that the company had been running the trash depot in Zion Crossroads, overcharging, undercharging, mixing up accounts, just an array of different problems, and a lot of expressions of frustration by authority personnel that their complaints were falling on deaf ears. Because you might say, well, why do they care how another company, how a company does business? Well, it made a big deal to the local ratepayers because the company was in charge of collecting a fee for every ton of trash dumped at that site. And if they were, being extra friendly to certain haulers and not charging the fee, well, the people who suffered were you and I, the taxpayer, who would have to fund the deficit. And all this stuff came into great focus during the Vanderland lawsuit because Vanderland was the one hauler who the authority decided to go after.
Yeah, they just went after this one business owner, this one guy, and with a RICO lawsuit, when in fact the Dave McNair's FOIA request shows that they were having problems as well with BFI, who was running the whole center.
Yeah, and in fact, the documents McNair uncovered showed that the authority was under the impression that various haulers were not paying the fee. But Vanderland became a target for whatever reason. Vanderland said early on that he became a target for one very clear reason, was that he was the only hauler who threatened to put the authority out of business by creating a competing facility.
Hello. Hello. It's so bald. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just so obvious. And yet they act like we're clueless. You know what I mean? And in this deal between BFI Allied Republic, it's all the same company, and the Ravana sewer folks,
solid waste.
I get it all confused.
Yeah,
water and sewer and sewer authority. It's the same people.
Same basic feel. Same administration. Sure.
Yeah, it's all Tom Frederick and some board, right?
That's right.
Yeah, hello. In a deal between this board, between Tom and the board and BFI, they agreed nobody's going to talk about it.
That's right.
So what we have is BFI is giving all this money to the garbage folks, and we don't know why. The public will not be told why.
And we don't know if that really cured how much we were not given all those years, because the agreement that BFI had with the authority was of 12 years in duration. So if they were mismanaging it for years and years, conceivably the sums could have run up into the millions. But they've settled with BFI for the sum of $300,000.
This is just mind-blowing to me. Mind-blowing. So they go after Peter Van Olinda with a RICO lawsuit, but they don't go after BFI because that's their partner, even though they know the FOIA proves they know that BFI is part of the problem.
Yeah, well, another thing McNair found was that they signed something called a tolling agreement, which lawyers might tell you is kind of we kind of want to sue you, but we don't want to sue you now. It kind of stops the clock on any statutes of limitation. And so that was something that McNair uncovered that showed after the fact, so we could all learn after the fact that in fact the authority was unhappy with BFI. But we didn't know this until now.
Amazing. And what really burns me up is that nobody is accountable in this whole mess. There's not one elected official who serves on the board or Tom Frederick who's standing up and giving us all the information and telling us what happened.
That's correct. That
there's no accountability. Actually, there's no responsibility for this.
I should clarify. I know that the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority got extra board members about a year ago, and I don't think, did the Solid Waste Authority get extra board members who were elected officials?
There's no extra oversight there, is there?
Well, there was, though. Wasn't it David Brown from the city and Ken Boyd from the county on the board?
On the water board, right? Did they also serve on the garbage board?
No, they were on the waste board.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. On the water board, it was Holly Edwards and Sally Thomas, although I think those roles have recently shaken up. And of course, Sally Thomas has, because she rolled off the water board because she rolled
She's
off
out
the
of
supervisors.
Office.
Yeah.
Just amazing. It's just amazing to me. There's no accountability at all. And there's all this waste, and it's corruption. That's how I think it is. I mean, when they're doing stuff like this behind their, and they're not telling anybody about it, and you have to put in a FOIA request to find out.
Well, you're right. It would be nice to see an accounting of how much the authority lost during the decade plus time that it was dealing with this BFI allied waste company that wasn't allegedly adhering to its side of the contract. But at this point, you know, Coy, if there's a gag order in place.
See, that's what they do. One of them, they get all corrupt and they break the rules and they do all this stuff and they make all this money and we have to pick up the tab. And then they'll pay a tiny fraction to the other, and they'll strike this deal that we're all quiet and mum's the word and don't tell anybody anything.
Well, maybe you could get Ken Boyd or David Brown, the elected officials, to make some noise, but actually both of them were always very much in support of suing Vanderlinde, and so it's not too bloody likely.
Yeah, amazing. Hoss Spencer is with The Hook. You can read this story online at readthehook.com, and I would hope that this isn't the last we hear about this. Really would. I mean, I just think people need to demand a little accountability in government, whether it's in Washington, Richmond, or local government, because it's so easy for the folks in government, whether elected or staff, to create a scenario where there is no accountability when it makes it look like that they are doing something right. And this isn't good government. You know, it's shameful.
You can't vote them out. The way the board is configured, it's mostly appointees, Coy.
On the garbage board.
Yeah.
Hoss Spencer, online at readthehook.com. Thank you, Hoss.
Hey, thanks for having me in the studio.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.